Republican Party of Canada. It's the only party that stands for breaking ties with the monarchy, establishing a sovereign republic in Canada, something 58% of Canadians actually support. And there has to be accountability here. So I said, look, this whole thing has to stop. There has to be, all of our cards have to be put on the table. We've got to tell people this government is, and this regime under Crown authority, it's already been proven to be a criminally convicted regime. They're admitting to genocide. The UN is once again going to cover for Canada and never enact its own laws. So it's up to the people to do that. And the first way we do that is to nullify any oath of allegiance to the Crown, do things we've been advocating for years. Because in Canada, every member of parliament, every civil servant, anyone in authority takes an oath of allegiance, not to the people or a constitution, but to Queen Elizabeth and her descendants, period. So when you vote somebody in, you're committing an act of treason. You're signing away your authority to a criminally convicted foreign ruler. It's time people govern themselves.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Kevin Annett rejoining us. He is working to change the way Canada is set up. And he's running for office as a Republican under the new party, the Republic of Canada. And he's explaining what all that means and when it was actually formed and why. But he gets into the depth of what we're all experiencing right now as far as the corruption that is so rampant. And in Canada, you know, why there's a difference in the way that they think, because we actually had a revolution here that was successful. And in Canada, they didn't. They were pushed down and have been still under the crown. And so this whole movement has been to get the crown out of there. And I think a lot of people here feel the presence of the crown too, just not as obviously. I mean, we just don't want this corruption and we can't get past it. And we need to take power back into our hands. So we talk about that, what it means to Canada, what it means here, what it means to the rest of the world. And it's exactly what we're going through. And let me give you an example with the Epstein case, where the judge ruled that Epstein should be a level 3 sex offender. But the district attorney in New York really lobbied to get it down to a level 1. Meanwhile, a soldier who had consensual sex with who was 24, had consensual sex with a 17-year-old, they push hard to make sure he was a level 3. But Epstein, they wanted to be a level 1. These kinds of hypocrisy and just insane things that are going on everywhere is what is we need to change and take power back into our hands. And the more you're close to it, whether you're talking about judges who aren't corrupt, politicians who aren't corrupt, anybody who's not corrupt that's close to this, law enforcement who see this, are appalled and traumatized that we can never do what's right in this country for some reason. The financial stuff, it's just corruption everywhere. And we need to take this back. And the more that people have that freedom to do what's right, like John Adams said, if you do what's right, you don't need the law. People don't need the laws if they do what's right. They would be governing themselves based on what's right. And that is so true. And right now we're not. And it's so obvious to so many of us. And it's because we have people like that Maxwell, who is a procurer for Epstein. She was served papers for the deposition for the Epstein case while at a Clinton initiative that was geared on human trafficking. Just to see how ludicrous that was. It's ludicrous that the Clinton initiative even did anything on human trafficking as far as raising money, because we know that what their record is about when it comes to human trafficking and how much, but they hide behind that. They hide behind the biggest charities and they're all involved acting like they're angels. And in reality, we know the truth. And I love that example of her, the one who was one of the main procurers for Epstein's underage girls, was given a deposition in front, she was embarrassed apparently, which she should have been, to testify on the Epstein case while she was standing under the banner for the human trafficking initiative by the global fund, the Clinton fund, which is just ridiculous. And then she ended up not going because she hustled back to England, where she is really a citizen of, and was able to dodge that whole situation. So I hope she gets what she deserves in the end. I'm really hoping so. But anyway, so that I'm kind of sidetracked here, but I thought it was an important little story that I told you and why this is all so important. But Kevin Annett stays after, and he talks about his new book, The Border, and it's a different, the mindset difference between Canada and the United States. And he talks about it. It's his new book that his latest book that he came out with. And he has some good stories to share with my patrons, and the link is below. And I also want to tell you about a live event. You've probably been noticing that I've been working with Dr. Sherry Edwards, and she is going over people's vocal prints because your frequency really tells whether you're lying or not. And it also tells your health. She says it's a whole blueprint of who you are. And one of the things that she wants to give back to humanity, because she's tired of, she feels like there's a civil war going on between good and evil, and just, which I think a lot of us feel this. She wants to give it out to the people. There's so much propaganda and lying going on. She sees it, she can hear it, because she has this mutation in her ear that where she can hear whether someone's lying. And so she can hear it all the time. And so she just hears the propaganda nonstop, and she's tired of it and wants to really help humanity. And so what we're doing on Monday the 26th is she's doing a training session on how to read her vocal prints for the case of understanding if people are lying or telling the truth or what their personality profile is. And so I just want to remind you, it's Monday the 26th at 7 p.m. Central Time. So that's the middle of the country. So if you're on the East Coast, you're an hour ahead. That's 8 o'clock. If you're on the West Coast, it would be 5 p.m. on Monday the 26th. And she is offering software. There's a free version, and then there's a paid version for $40. And I highly recommend you get the paid version. If you're on a PC, it works well. If you're on a Mac, you have to do some things to get it to work, partition your drive and things. I don't know. I'd like to see her get it on a Mac and a PC. We've been talking about it. So let's get into my interview with Kevin Annett. Hi, Kevin. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sarah. It's good to be back.
You have embarked in the political arena. You're running for office. What made you decide to run for office versus, you know, doing what you have been doing over the last couple decades?
Well, politics has been in my bones ever since I was young. I guess you could say everything I've been doing is political. But specifically, the Canadian election was announced. It's probably going to occur October 21st. This is a federal election. And what prompted me to throw my hat in the ring, running under the banner of a party that was formed 4 years ago, it's called the Republican Party of Canada. It's the only party that stands for breaking ties with the monarchy, establishing a sovereign republic in Canada, something 58% of Canadians actually support. Anyway, I announced my candidacy because one of the reasons was Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced on June 4th, he used the words, it was genocide. This is in reference to the report of the murdered and missing women's inquiry set up by the government, looking into all the dead and missing Aboriginal women on the West Coast. In reference to what it was done to Native people in Canada, he admitted it was genocide. Not cultural genocide, not abuse, you know, these terms that they've used to soften the reality, but out and out genocide. Now, under international law, once genocide is admitted to or proven under the UN Convention on Genocide, which Canada signed in 1948, it's subject to this law. Once that's admitted, the nation has to be prosecuted and punished. Those are the words used in Article 2, prosecuted and punished. Well, not only is Canada not taking those steps, but they're once again trying to brush the whole thing under the rug. And there has to be accountability here. So I said, look, this whole thing has to stop. There has to be all of our cards have to be put on the table. We've got to tell people this government and this regime under Crown authority, it's already been proven to be a criminally convicted regime. They're admitting to genocide. The UN is once again going to cover for Canada and never enact its own laws. So it's up to the people to do that. And the first way we do that is to nullify any oath of allegiance to the Crown, do things we've been advocating for years, we very soon after there was within 4 days of Trudeau making that announcement, the International Tribunal of Crimes of Church and State, the ITCCS, actually issued a summons to Justin Trudeau and 20 other officials, including the Governor General of Canada, the official head of state, to attend a war crimes tribunal, which is convened in Vancouver for September 16th in about a month. And at that tribunal, a lot of the evidence implicating Justin Trudeau himself in the cover-up of the ongoing disappearance of Native people, especially in British Columbia, that's all going to be put on the table. Now, they've been summoned. They haven't answered, of course, which is their usual way of operating. But it doesn't really matter because in conjunction with the election campaign, we're going to be holding these town hall meetings where we're going to present this evidence, hard evidence showing, and to give you an example, the Chinese corporations that are operating in British Columbia, including PetroChina, have been operating, according to our evidence and information, operating actual death squads, paramilitary groups that go around and terrorize Native people off the land. We did that interview before, I believe, where I made reference to this. On an interview with Catherine Horton recently, we showed this map. And if you look at British Columbia, all the liquid natural gas sites that are being bought up by the Chinese, they're in direct sync with the sites where a lot of Native families go missing. So in effect, what they're doing is they're terrorizing people off the land to get the liquid natural gas. The Liberal Party of Justin Trudeau has removed all restrictions on Chinese investment. They've even allowed China to base their own security troops on Canadian soil to protect those investments. So it's utter no treason the Trudeau government is inflicting on people. We intend to present all this evidence publicly, and it's happening at a great time because with the election campaign and this calling out of this crown-based regime in Canada, it's providing a lot of spotlight on the whole issue. We've had a tremendous response. Two other people have already volunteered to run alongside me, Brenda Everall and Timothy Barch, both in Ontario. These are community activists that are running for the Republican Party of Canada as well. And we intend to go to the old candidates meetings and get people on the ground to start taking back authority. This is really what it's all about, creating a new alternative for people, a new jurisdiction outside the system of crown criminality. So that's kind of in a nutshell what's happened.
So there's three total candidates. Are you going to be able to do debates with the candidates, or are there rules for, like in the United States, there's all these rules to try to keep any startup, or independent person out of the race unless they have a ton of money. How do you get involved in the debates?
Well, of course they're going to exclude us. There's other groups, smaller parties like the People's Party of Canada, various Western separatist parties. They've all been excluded from the TV debates. They're even trying to keep them off the ballot. We're going to show up anyway. The point is, at local all candidate meetings, we'll go. We'll hold our own town hall meetings and say, you folks better come and attend these things because we are showing evidence linking the present government to the murder of Aboriginal families, the selling out of Canadian sovereignty, acts of treason, really. And again, this tribunal in Vancouver is going to be presenting this information to the public. It's going to be an open forum for that to happen.
So these crimes that you have been talking about are going on now, but by the Chinese, but being paid off. It's independent companies that the government is paying off, which happen to be Chinese companies, to do these crimes.
Right. Now, don't forget, this is a culmination of a lot of years of work. In 2003, I was part of an effort in Vancouver to set up what's called the Community Task Force into Missing Women. And one of our sources was a RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer, George Brown, who quit the RCMP because he found that Mounties themselves were involved in the murder of Native women. Now, Human Rights Watch, which is a group in New York, they actually issued a report about this. You can look it up online. In 2013, they issued a report, went around the world, and it actually said the RCMP are directly implicated in the death and disappearance of Native women. Now, when the government set up their bogus task force again into inquiry into missing women, they were instructed, the commissioners were instructed never to interview an RCMP officer and not to look into the role of the RCMP. It was a restricted, controlled inquiry, just like the their so-called Truth and Reconciliation Commission inquiry into residential schools was. Weren't allowed to take any evidence about the murder of children or any of that. Another whitewash, and that's why it's so important that this tribunal happened, because once again, 20 years after we held the first tribunal in Vancouver into these crimes, we need to create an independent forum for these things to be heard, for people to act intelligently. And so this is really why it's happening then and there.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of meetings occur. You know, there's conferences on human trafficking, and then, you know, all these people come together, act like they're experts, and then nothing ever happens. And one thing that I like about you is that you're always trying to figure out different ways that you can make, that you can actually make a difference and get on the ground floor and cause change. And is this one of the reasons you decided to run for office?
Absolutely, because when I run for office, as with our two other candidates, Tim and Brenda, we're saying to people, it's not a matter of voting for us. It's a matter of voting out the present system. We don't want you to go into the election booth and mark a ballot, because in Canada, every member of parliament, every civil servant, anyone in authority takes an oath of allegiance, not to the people or a constitution, but to Queen Elizabeth and her descendants, period. So when you vote somebody in, you're committing an act of treason. You're signing away your authority to a criminally convicted foreign ruler. It's time people govern themselves, and that's what we're saying. Do not take part in these crown systems of law or government. What we're doing is, we don't call ourselves representatives, but delegates. We're delegates to a future Congress that will establish a republic, but we're putting out the idea now to get people to get out of the system. And one of the ways we do that is we've done this in three different cities already. We convene what are called people's assemblies, local Republican assemblies, where people take back power into their own communities. They stop paying federal tax money, most of which goes to pay off debts to foreign banks anyway. We keep the tax money in the community. We disavow the oath of allegiance to the crown. We take a new oath of allegiance to a constitutional republic. And we appoint our own sheriffs to enforce this stuff. And people are beginning to run with this. The kind of thing that the rulers, so-called rulers, do not want to see happen, because it's about direct democracy and self-governance.
Now, do you think that it's one big propaganda scheme, that they're trying to educate us to think we have a democratic republic now, but we don't?
Oh, very much. I mean, you know, the people who run the economy and the society never get elected. We all know that, right? I mean, every society nowadays is run by a corporatocracy of offshore banking interests, you know, who tell the politicians what to do. I mean, that's just, anyone who's had any involvement in government knows that for a fact, right? What we're saying is, the only way you can get around a criminal regime like that, that traffics children, that murders, commits genocide, where there's no accountability and there's fraud at every level of the system, the only way to do that is for people to create the alternatives themselves. And I remember an example from history, not only from the American Revolution, where, you know, the first thing the revolutionaries did, even before Lexington and Concord, they were going to the crown courts and shut them down. They would get the crown judge to chase them out of town and to burn all the mortgage records. They would, because they knew that the crown was a parasitic body on their country. And this is the kind of thing that in Ireland during the Civil War, they set up their own courts alongside the British crown courts, where they encouraged the Irish people to come in and adjudicate. So you set up a parallel system of power that people can join. And that way, it's incredibly empowering for people, because it says, we can take back that power in our own communities. We are the republic. And it's an idea at the heart of America. But these days, when you try that, you're called a domestic terrorist, right?
You are, because this is the movement that a lot of people are doing in the United States, but people are, it's hard to get the average Joe recruited into this because of all the propaganda that you're a domestic terrorist, versus we just want freedom and we want a republic. And after you have spent pretty much your adult lifetime seeing how corrupt and the fact that you will bring actual crimes forward and nothing ever happens. It's like the very top criminals. It's like in our country that the Clintons are still walking around and all this human trafficking and blackmail and all this stuff is going on and nothing for decades have happened. And so many people have come forward and there's so many victims and the people in the press who have come forward, they've lost their jobs, and people in the you know, police officers and detectives who've actually tried to do something about it, they've been shut down time and time again. So it's like proof after proof that they don't care about the criminal and the corruption. And so you get to this point where the only way we can do something about it is to do what you're talking about. And are you seeing people actually in enough of a percentage and enough of a groundswell happening that you think you can, you know, you can actually move the target closer to this?
We already have. Look at what we achieved over 10 to 15 years in Canada, where a dozen or two of us forced the issue of genocide on the agenda. Now, we just did what Sun Tzu said to do in The Art of War. He said, no matter how small your force is, he called it set the ground. You establish the terrain of battle. You use their own words. We didn't talk about abuse. We talked about genocide. Now the prime minister is using the word genocide. If you stand on your ground and keep speaking that truth, it doesn't matter how small you are, you've captured the energy, what Sun Tzu called the chi, the essential energy of a situation. And it's frustrating for people as long as their eyes are focused on the so-called system. As soon as you take your eyes away from it, we realize that we have amazing power within ourselves and we just have to act on it. And that's the difficult part because we've all been raised to think that we don't have that power. We've been raised to sign it over to somebody else with an X on a ballot box, right? And call that democracy when it isn't. So it's a matter of recovering our own minds and looking at the examples of people like me who've been able to force that change just by being stubborn and standing on the truth that we know is there.
You're probably the most stubborn person that I interview, and I absolutely love it. I love the fact, and I got to tell you, I love the fact of how committed you are to doing what's right and that you have never wavered and you just keep going and going and going. And I'm very impressed with that. And I think the message that you're sending could help people not only in Canada, but everywhere to take back our freedoms and what it means to do that. Now, do you foresee that this could result in violence?
Well, there's violence there all the time as we speak. I mean, we're immersed in it. I keep doing it because it's about the lives of children. It's that simple. And it's a matter of, where you stand in relation all the time to the crimes in our own neighborhood, in our own backyard. And we can stick our heads in the sand and pretend they're not there, but eventually they're going to strike us. And in terms of overt attacks, I find over the years, as we've talked about, they don't tend to come at me directly. They don't want to make martyrs of people with a lot of exposure like me. They want to discredit and marginalize and isolate and get people afraid of the name of the person so they won't have anything to do with them. But one of the women running in our campaign, Brenda Everall, I've had her on my show, Here We Stand, on Sundays, and she's an amazing woman. She's been fighting the Children's Aid Society, which has been trafficking children for years. They've threatened her. They've locked her up in a mental institute. They dragged her into jail. They grabbed her kids. She hasn't stopped. She just keeps going because she knows what's at stake, you know, our future, our children, you know, and so it's really that simple.
Well, I'm impressed with the people that keep, you know, I think the courage is something that you set as a standard. And I've been talking to a lot of people behind the scenes now and saying, we need more professionals, you know, who I've talked to people on really high levels. And I'm like, we need you guys coming forward and talking about this and not being afraid to. I know the mass media won't talk to you, but come on to shows like mine. Come on to shows where there are professional, legit people who are really trying to get the truth out there and share your truth. And if enough of you come forward, then they can no longer destroy your careers and get away with this. And I know that fear is there, but it doesn't have to be if enough people come forward. It's like the Google engineers, you know, where more and more people are coming forward. If they have a whole crowd of them coming forward, then they can no longer persecute the few. There's too many to persecute and it becomes standard. And so that's it. It takes the bravery of the first ones to get it to be normal. And I think we're reaching that tipping point because there's so many people talking to me behind the scenes that are ready to go forward, that are just trying to muster up that courage. And I think I applaud you because you've been setting an example for years for people.
Yeah, and you know, what you say is all true, and it is tipping. It's especially difficult in a place like Canada where no one has a tradition of what democracy and self-governance really is. And in our flag, the Republic of Canada, these three stars represent the Indigenous, French, and English founding nations. And the two are wampum, those stripes, represent the original treaty signed with the Indigenous people saying that we will go down the river side by side, we'll share this land together, we're not going to dominate each other. And that is an idea that really has always been at the heart of Canada, that my early ancestors lived alongside and intermarried with the Indigenous people. But the Crown, the Church came in and wiped all that out. And we have to get back to that basic human understanding that under natural law, the earth is meant to share, not to hoard. We're not to be governing over each other. We have one governance, the Creator. And we're equal brothers and sisters under that, and we're to live in harmony. I mean, it's really simple, right? It's every kid knows this, right? Every child. And we have to get back to that natural understanding, right?
Yeah, because we're taught that, but then in implementation, we're ruled over. And you don't realize that you're ruled over until you start running up against walls and you're starting to see this corruption firsthand, and you cannot fathom. I mean, you're traumatized into understanding what's really going on.
Right. And that's a good word to use, because as people often wonder, why is there so much child abuse and people and the institutions get away with it all the time? Because it's a political tool to control people. You traumatize them at a young age. It's hard for them to think independently and to challenge authority at all. And so it's a way people, we have to overcome the policemen in our own head. We have to recover our own thoughts before we can take action in the world. But often you, by taking action in the world, you help overcome that slavery. So it's an interesting combination of how these things change, but I do see it changing everywhere now. And people should go and to murderbydecree.com, my website. If you look under ITCCS updates, you'll see all this latest news posted there. And a lot of the material of what we're talking about is in my books on Amazon, especially the book is called Establishing Liberty, The Case for Canada.
Yeah, I saw that. It explains what you're all about, what the party's all about. Now, who established the party?
It's been an idea that's been around for a long time. There was an attempt at this in 1837. My ancestor, great-great-great-grandfather, Philip Anna, took part in that, in the attempted uprising against the British Crown. That was defeated, but there's been a strong Republican movement and kind of underground in Canada for a long time. In January 2015, over 200 people met in Winnipeg. These were French and English speaking Indigenous people. And they established kind of the model, the philosophy and the jurisdiction. They said, all people have to do is declare their independence from Crown authority. And as long as you're not harming anyone, you're perfectly lawful. And so we started doing that. We've been spreading the ideas around and establishing local movements. Now, Canada's vast, so it's hard to have a coordinated national movement at that point. We really look at local community grassroots building of this movement. That's what we've been doing for 5 years.
And one thing I'm noticing across the country and in Canada and everywhere, people I talk to, this is really a peaceful movement. People are peace-loving. They don't want people hurt. They don't want children hurt. It's a peaceful movement, but yet the governments want to make people out to be terrorists when really they're so peaceful. They're way more peaceful than the people are accusing them of being terrorists.
It's like the pot calling the kettle black, because the greatest purveyors of violence in the world, the U.S. government, these other governments, they're calling everybody else terrorists. Well, I mean, that's a classical thing you do when you're psychotic. You transfer and project your own qualities onto the rest of the world. So I think people in power have to step down. You know, one of the reasons we say to these authorities to stand down is not only because they're criminal, but for their own well-being. I mean, they're in a very sick system and they've got to recover from it. So we'll take over now. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't understand why we would be following the Crown, why Canada is still following a family. I mean, why is the Crown leading anyone? I don't understand how that could even be. I know even in England, a lot of people don't like it. I'm just impressed with how you keep fighting, and I'm really happy that you do. Is there anything that you could tell people that they need to do to, or that they need, that they can do to really help the cause or help in their own communities? Maybe give us some inspiration from Kevin on what you can do to make your lot better around in your own communities, whether it, because I have people from all over the world that listen to this show. So maybe you can broaden it out to, you know, Canada first and then people all over the world.
Well, if folks listening are in Canada or Canada, as we call it, they can help us directly. Now, I should mention the word Canada comes from the word Kanata, which is a Huron word, native word. It means our village. But it also means the place where people sit around the council fire as equals, where no one is above anyone else. That's what Kanata means. If you're in Kanata, then definitely get involved in our campaign. One of the things you can do, write to us, Republic of Kanata, K-A-N-A-T-A, Republic of Kanata at gmail.com. We need people to work on the ground, leaflet, canvas. We're holding town hall meetings and teach-ins where people can learn the principles. We're developing community projects. For example, in North Winnipeg, where I'm running, it's a very poor neighborhood. So we're organizing block neighborhoods to set up their own projects that are going to take back the community. For example, they're nurturing community gardens. They're setting up local exchange systems where people can get out of the moneyed economy. They're doing things to strengthen the community, to police their own neighborhoods, that kind of thing. We do swearing-in ceremonies where people actually disavow their oath of allegiance to the crown, take an oath to the republic. You get a citizenship card. And with that, I should mention, there's a thing called, under the law, right of reparations. So we have been systematically ripped off for centuries, defrauded by the crown system. They owe us. So we have the right to public transit, to medical care. There's thousands. If you took the total wealth in Canada and divided it up equally, everyone would get $240,000, if you can believe it. That's how wealthy a nation it is. So that is owed to us inherently. And we have the right to. So one of the things we do is we get on buses, flash our citizenship card and say, under the right of reparations, I have the right to drive here freely.
What do they say back?
Well, we've spoken in some towns, we've spoken to the bus drivers union and they're on board with it. Once we educate people, it's like police. When we were occupying churches and they would come up, I would tell them what we're doing, about the criminal nature of the churches they're protecting. And they normally back right off because this is a struggle for hearts and minds. They see that we're trying to do the right thing, that we're on the right ground lawfully and morally. And so it's a matter of educating people and getting them on board. And it's like in any revolution, eventually, even the authorities switch, the police, the army, they come over. And that's the movement we're trying to create by giving people something positive.
Sorry, there's a little bit of a delay. I was going to say they're the ones that know the most. They're the ones that see it constantly. You know, I've done a lot of interviews with Detective Rothstein, you know, Jimmy Boots and other people, that these people are struggling in their jobs because they know how corrupt it is. They want to do something.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And so we've had success in bringing folks to our police and others to our common law training workshops and that. Now, outside Canada, people can be a great support because it's the same movement, really, everywhere in the world to establish these kind of common law republics. I remember last year I was in Dublin and we convened a common law assembly there, 12 men and women. Now, these were people who are already active in the tenants and homeless movement to reclaim buildings for the homeless. It's called Take Back the City. But these 12 people signed a charter. They're now a common law assembly. They're passing their own laws. They're looking for ways of enforcing it. They're getting the police to help them with stuff. And it's a movement from below. So people should all be involved in that. And like I say, you can write to me personally at thecommonland@gmail.com. And, you know, you got to get on board with this because it's really our future, you know.
It is. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Kevin. It's, you know, this show is about disruption, innovation, and, you know, how the world is changing, what's the edge of what's going on. And this is definitely a movement that I'm seeing and more people are talking about it. And I know why, because I'm firsthand seeing the corruption and it just doesn't seem like anything's ever done. And now, you know, this current administration's trying and the United States trying to do stuff, sort of, but the swamp is so bad. The corruption is so bad. And it's just what's going on. And that's because we are ruled by a brainwashed, or not even brainwashed, they are blackmailed. There you go.
Yeah,
we're ruled. Yeah, we're ruled by a whole blackmail force. And the people behind that blackmail are the ones who are controlling everybody. Our politicians are either clueless, they're blackmailed, or if they really are good and they're really getting stuff done, they figure out how to get them out of office, like they did with Cynthia McKinney. So we have serious issues that we need to take care of. And, you know, and we, anybody who speaks up, who are articulate, like you, who is saying the truth, they do their best to minimize and make you out to be a quack when you're not. And that's why I want to get more and more people. Go ahead.
The important thing is not what they do. We know what the problem is now. Now the question is what you and I do.
Yeah, thank you. Yep.
And look in the mirror and ask yourself, how am I going to take the next step to reclaim my own mind, my community, the lives of our children? And once you're on the right ground, personally, everything follows. Once people start governing themselves, the right thing happens, right? We have to trust that ability in ourselves. And that's why we're going to be holding these town hall meetings all through September. The election's probably going to be October 21st, but we're going to be having these public events all over. And again, I really urge people to write to us, republicofcanada@gmail.com, and we'll send you out all the information you need. I get lots of contact every day from people who want to join up, who want to take action now. They don't want to, you know, people know what the farce elections are, how it's very controlled, and we want to do something more. This is a permanent movement beyond elections to take back our nations.
Well, thank you. I'll leave it with that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sarah.